Medieval History, April 6th through April 9th. Wednesday, April 8th. History Unit, the Vikings. Lesson 4, the Heathens Stayed, from Raiding to Settlement. Lesson 4, Socratic Guiding Question. Keep this question in mind as you study. How do the Vikings adapt so as to best take advantage of the circumstances? Objective. Be able to do this by the end of the lesson. Contrast the goals of Viking raids and Viking settlement. Yesterday we learned about the first Viking raids and the Christians' reaction to them. Today we will see how these raids continued but began to take a new form. Let's jump right in. Find and highlight or circle Kent, Wessex, which is the land of the West Saxons, East Anglia, Northumbria, York, Mercia, Nottingham, Repton, the River Tyne, Strathclyde, and Exeter. Turn to page 9. Below are the entries in the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle for the years 865 to 878. Read and annotate, then answer the questions below. As you read, do your best to keep track of where the armies are on the map. 865. In this year, the heathen army occupied Thanet and made peace with the people of Kent. The Kentish men promised money in return for peace. Taking advantage of the promise of money, an army stole up by night and raided the whole of East Kent. 866, probably 865. In this year, Aethelred, Aethelbrit's brother, took over the rule of the West Saxons. That year, too, a great heathen army invaded the land of the Angles and established winter quarters and procured horses there. They made peace with the East Anglians. 867. This year, the heathen army advanced from East Anglia across the mouth of the River Humber as far as York in Northumbria. The Northumbrians were seriously at odds with one another. They had recently overthrown their king, Osprit, and established as king Ella, a man with no claim to the throne. However, late in the year they submitted again to Osprit, and then fought against the heathen army. They gathered an immense host and attacked the heathens at York. They penetrated the fortifications, and some of them got inside. There was a huge slaughter among the Northumbrians, some inside the city and others outside. Both Northumbrian kings were killed. The survivors made peace with the heathen army. The same year, Bishop Alston died after holding the bishopric of Sherborne for 50 years. He is buried in the town. 868. In this year, the heathen army moved to Nottingham in Mercia and took up winter quarters there. King Burgred of Mercia and his council begged King Aethelred of Wessex and his brother Alfred to help them in their fight against the great army. They led the West Saxon host into Mercia as far as Nottingham, where they encountered the heathen army at the fortifications and laid siege to the city. However, there was no serious fighting, so the Mercians made peace with the army. 869. In this year, the heathen army returned to York and stayed there for a year. 874. This year saw the army move from Lindsey to Repton, where they stayed for the winter, and they drove King Burgred of Mercia overseas after he had ruled for 22 years. They overran the country, while Burgred went to Rome and lived there. His body lies in the church of St. Mary at the English College. The same year the Danes gave the throne of Mercia to a foolish king's thane called Ceolwulf. He gave them hostages and swore oaths that the kingdom would be theirs whenever they wished. He swore, too, that he and all who followed him would be ready to meet the army's needs. 875. This year, the army moved from Repton. Halfdan led part of the army to Northumbria and settled there for the winter beside the River Tyne. The army overran that district and often carried out raids on the Picts and the Welsh of Strathclyde. The three Danish kings, Guthrum, Ossetil, and Anwen, left Repton for Cambridge, which they occupied for a year with a large army. That summer, King Alfred went to sea with a fleet and fought against 7 Danish ships, capturing one and putting the rest to flight. Page 10, 876. In this year, the Danish army stole into Wareham, a fort belonging to the West Saxons. Later, the king made peace with the army. They gave King Alfred as hostages the finest men in the army, and swore oaths on their holy ring, something they had never before done for any people, that they would leave his kingdom immediately. Taking advantage of this, their cavalry left the fort surreptitiously and entered Exeter. That year, Halfdan divided up the land of Northumbria, and raiders became tillers of the land as well. Rollo and his men invaded Normandy, and he ruled for 53 years. 877. In this year, the Danish army arrived at Exeter from Wareham. Their fleet sailed around the west coast and ran into a powerful storm at sea. They lost 120 ships at Swanage. King Alfred pursued the cavalry with his forces as far as Exeter, but could not overtake them before they reached the fort, where no one could get at them. They gave King Alfred as many prominent hostages as he wanted, and swore many oaths to keep the peace. The army moved into Mercia at harvest time. They took some of the produce and gave some to Ceolwulf. 878. In this year, the Danish army moved surreptitiously to Chippenham in the middle of winter. After Twelfth Night of Christmas, they reached Wessex and occupied it. They drove many of the people overseas, but subdued most of them, except for King Alfred and a small body of men, who were, despite hardships, keeping to the forests and areas protected by marshes. The same winter, the brother of Ivar and Halfdan entered Wessex and Devonshire, where he and 840 men were killed. This year, the battle standard called the Raven was captured. At Easter, King Alfred, with his small force, built a fort at Athelney, from which he attacked the Danish army with the support from the part of Somerset which is closest. In the 7th week after Easter, King Alfred rode to Ecbrotestun, to the east of Wiwodu, and he was met there by all the people of Somerset, Wiltshire, and the part of Hampshire on this side of the sea. They were all happy to see him. He travelled for one night to Eglo, and one more night to Eddington, where he fought with the whole army and put them to flight. Then King Alfred rode after them as far as the fort and stayed there for a fortnight. Then the Danish army gave hostages and swore many oaths that they would leave his kingdom. They promised that their king would accept baptism. They kept that promise. 3 weeks later, Danish King Guthrum arrived at Aller, near Athelney, with 30 of the noblest men in the army. At that time, the king received baptism. His chrismal, baptismal robe, was removed at Wedmore. Guthrum stayed with King Alfred for 12 days, and King Alfred honored Guthrum's companions with rich gifts. Question number 1. What are some of the Vikings' goals in this text? Page 11. Question number 2. How does the contact between the English and the Vikings here differ from the raids you read about yesterday? Question number 3. What word does the chronicler use most frequently to refer to the Vikings? Why might he use that word? Page number 12. The transition from raiding to settlement. It is worth noting that the chronicler frequently uses the word heathens to refer to the Northmen or the Vikings. From the Christian, Anglo-Saxon perspective, the Vikings are not just enemies because they are of a different nationality, but because they are enemies of Christ, and thus a threat to the unified Christian society of Christendom. Along with the coming of the great heathen army in 865 and 866, the chronicler notes that the Vikings have begun the practice of overwintering, or not returning to Scandinavia for the winter, but staying the whole year in England. In contrast to the earlier raids, which were short-term and took place only in the summer, the Vikings have now turned to full-scale invasion, waging war throughout the whole year. Further, while they continue to raid and plunder, example given in 685, they also began to exact tribute, also 685, and to make permanent settlements. The raiders became tillers of the land as well, 876. At many times they attempt to make peace with the English, though usually their ultimate goal is conquest, example given 865. It is not until the reign of King Alfred of Wessex that the Viking domination is held at bay. The two main areas in Europe where the Vikings established lasting kingdoms were Danelaw in northeast England. You can see that on the map. A land that was formally recognized by King Alfred in 878, and Normandy in northern France, which you will read about tomorrow. Questions on page 13. Which happened first? The raids, beginning of 793, or the settlement? Which was just during the summer? Which included overwintering? Which involved full-scale war? Which was just a quick raid? What were the goals of each? And was there overlap? This concludes the material for Wednesday, April 8th.